When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, where you been? Buckeye Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Stephen Means. That's Nathan Barrett, and that's Andrew Gillis. And we thought spring break meant we got to take a break from the breaking news and the craziness that has been Ohio State's offseason. And then Tony Offer decided to throw a wrench in that. More importantly, Michigan decided to throw a wrench in that. Michigan obviously parted ways with their running back coach, Mike Hart, after this year, as Sherrone Moore continues to put together his first coaching staff as the Wolverines head coach. And the reports came out on Wednesday that they are expected to hire Tony Offert, Ohio State's running back coach, as their new run game coordinator, running back coach. Tony Offert has been at Ohio State since 2015. Obviously, the first things that come to mind are he had the last year of Ezekiel Elliott. He recruited and coached J.K. Dobbins into a second-round pick. He's the reason Travion Henderson is at Ohio State, plus plenty of other things. Nathan, I guess on the list of things that has happened to Ohio State, not to Ohio State, that has happened in the Ohio State football realm over the last 3 months, where does this fit in the hierarchy of things you, of in terms of least expected things you were thinking about?
Well, hi, but it's mostly because of the timing. Like, you wouldn't necessarily expect this to happen a week into spring practice. It doesn't surprise me that Tony Offert is leaving. And it was, we had talked about that when we did a pod a few weeks ago about staff longevity and things like that. He's been here 9 years. It's not often that guys stay somewhere for 9 years where they're sort of locked into just being a position coach. And no matter what other titles they put on it, that really is what he's locked into at for the most part here. He's not going to be a coordinator at any point. It doesn't seem like, no matter how long he stays here. Brian Hartline already having been promoted over him for that. So that part doesn't surprise me. If he had left in the offseason, that wouldn't have surprised me. But the combination of a week into spring practice and the fact that it's Michigan. So this isn't unprecedented. Guys have left one rival for the other before. Ryan Day's first staff, people probably remember, had Al Washington as linebackers coach, Greg Madison as a co-defensive coordinator, both hired off of Michigan's 2018 staff. So it's not unprecedented by any means. It's been a long time since Ohio State lost someone to Michigan. I don't even know that off the top of my head, but people who are more tenured would know that. But so that in itself has some shock value, to lose anybody to Michigan and to lose it at this juncture of the rivalry where Ohio State, so much of its identity right now is built in this effort to get back to Michigan's level. And now you've got a guy who's been here for almost a decade, and it's a smart business decision on his part for a number of reasons we can get into, but it's still going to feel personal. And it already does. You can see the reaction from the players at Ohio State. Like, this feels personal to them when somebody leaves for Michigan, especially after you've already started preparing for the season where you're trying to beat them.
So, Andrew, from the players' perspective, obviously, Ohio State, in terms of what the room looked like, this was arguably maybe the best running back room in the country, at least the top two, when you got Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Both of those guys signed up to play for Tony Offer. Dallin Hayden signed up to play for Tony Offer. And then you got James Peoples and Sam Williams-Dixon at the bottom of that room as true freshmen who signed up to play for Tony Offer. It doesn't necessarily change anything from a personnel standpoint, at least I don't think it does. Well, do you think, actually, because there is a spring window, transfer window, that is going to open up, and if you think that you've got five guys in this room who all signed up to play for a guy who you went on vacation for a week and you're coming back and he's not coaching you anymore, how does that impact Ohio State's running back room going forward with that second window opening up after spring football?
Well, I think it definitely maybe impacts the younger guys more than it does some of the older guys. You know, Trevion Henderson's been here a while. I mean, he's been in a situation where, look, he came back to win a national championship, to do the things that he hasn't accomplished. We've talked about that ad nauseum of all of the guys that kind of came back, especially from that 2021 class. You're not worried about really, I wouldn't say Quinshon Judkins. I think that you feel pretty good about those guys. Where my attention would kind of go is, how does Dallin Hayden feel about this? Because, you know, Dallin Hayden, you're talking about a situation where you were on the redshirt plan last year. I know we all have thoughts about what that redshirt plan was and whether it was merited or whether it was worth it or not. How does he feel about this? Because the guy who kind of put him on that path is now gone. And how does James Peoples feel about this? Because, you know, we talked a lot about this where Peoples was maybe setting up to be, you know, the starting running back or in a 1-2 punch with Dallin Hayden in the 2025 season as, you know, the leaders of Ohio State's backfield. And now the guy that recruited you is gone. I mean, James Peoples is from Texas. It's not like they went and got him from Cleveland or from, you know, Cincinnati right down the road. And this was a school that, you know, he always had dreamed of going to, right? He's not an Ohio kid. Like, that's a big deal. He's not Sam Williams Dixon, who's from right down the road. You know, like this is a notable thing to me. So I think I'm more curious to see how the younger players feel about it and to hear about how the younger players feel about it, because those are the guys. They're going to have to be here a while. You know, Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, they came here for, you know, pretty specific purposes. They wanted to do everything that I said at the beginning, you know, boost their draft stock, win championships, conference and national championship. Like, those things are kind of set. But the guys who were going to have to be here a while, I think that those are the guys where my attention turned to pretty immediately.
So, but I think in order to have this sort of conversation, we probably should just go ahead and talk about why Tony Alford is leaving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people may remember in February, Ohio State announced several contract extensions for assistant coaches. Did not announce one for Tony Alford. So he's a lame duck for 2024. And really, I guess the whole staff sort of is at this stage, right? Like, if things go really wrong in 2024, everybody's gone anyway. To go somewhere now, even if it's a lateral move, even if it's not that much more money, I assume gets you a 2 or 3 year contract at the new place. You now have more job security. You're able to lock yourself in for the short term. It goes back to what I was saying before, to where it just really seemed like Tony Alford was probably at his, I think I said it in the text, like, you're just at a runway. Like, this happens in jobs all the time. Like, you've gone as far as you can go. You've plateaued at that employer. And that really feels like what Tony Alford had done here. And he's got aspirations to do more than that in his career, I believe. He has interviewed to be a head coach before. He has been in those discussions, not at Ohio State, but at other places. And the idea of taking this and, like, locking yourself in for a couple of years of security, as opposed to looking at a future where a year from now you might be sort of casting about for whatever job is out there, you get to control your destiny a little bit more here. And Michigan's a good place to land, sorry to say. I know that's not the from the objective or the subjective view of Ohio State fans, I know that's not true. But from just a football standpoint, it's true. So that's the thing that you have to remember as we look at what the repercussions are across the rest of this roster. Because all of those things about why Tony Alford recruited those players to Ohio State in the first place remains true. The interesting one that you brought up is Hayden. And I can't say here and say that I have a great read on the Dallin Hayden-Tony Alford relationship and how that has played into his usage over the last couple of years. We've tried to get a read on that through Ryan Day. And because Ryan Day at times has been like, oh, yeah, we've definitely got to get him more involved. And then he isn't. And at the end of the day, that is Tony Alford's decision. So I'm not trying to there's some speculation there on my part. I just don't know if that's I don't know how that relationship is right now. So but that's I think it's important to kind of make sure that we're putting Alford's departure in the right context, that it, and I even wrote a piece for our site that essentially said, like, it's a business move for him. But it feels personal because of who it is and when he's doing it.
The Dallin Hayden one is interesting. He also comes from a football family. So from the standpoint of the business side of this. Aaron Hayden, his father played running back at Tennessee, and I think he was a professional for a couple of years. I think Dallin gets that part of it, and he's always gotten that part of it, because this is also not the first time that Tony Alford has flirted with leaving Ohio State. Now, this one actually got somewhere, but when you come from that type of background where you've been around it, you've seen it, you've got parents who can understand it a little bit more, you can be frustrated. You know, Nathan, you just mentioned there are guys all over Twitter right now and all over Instagram who are a little frustrated with this. Obviously, nobody from the running back room has said anything, because that's the smart thing to do, is not say anything when it's the guy who's directly responsible for your room. But some of the people have been a little bit more vocal about this. But I think Dallin Hayden was in an interesting spot anyway, coming out of this spring when they brought in Quinshon Judkins, and it was very clear he was going to be third. But is it going to be third the way it felt like Mayan Williams was third last year, where it still was a role? Or is it third where it's a significant drop-off in between what Quinshon and Travion Henderson get and then what Dallin Hayden would get? Now that you're bringing in a new coach, that dynamic is even more interesting. Does Dallin Hayden or anybody else on this roster want to get out ahead of things, especially those bottom three guys, especially those freshmen as well, because they're just starting their careers? Do they maybe decide to go in the portal? And these are the type of conversations you have to have now when you have coaches 3 days into your spring break decide to leave your program. One more thing I want to get into before we take a break here and dive deeper into this, Nathan. Obviously, this is probably a surprise to Ryan Day, just as much as it is to everybody else here. This is all happening very quickly here. So this would be maybe grasping at straws, and there's probably not a lot of merit to it right now as we're all trying to figure out what's going on here. But we've seen Ryan Day hire from within. We've seen him go outside and hire there, but he's really never had to do it to this significance in replacing an offensive member of his staff, because the only other time he's had to do that where it wasn't was when Greg Shajawa decided to walk, when they separated ways and you went and found Justin Fry, who you had a previous relationship with, and then when Kevin Wilson left and you just picked up a GA and you gave him a job. You've got Chip Kelly on your staff as well in this situation, and maybe there's an influence of where they decide to go with this running back position in terms of who's coaching it. How should Ryan Day handle who he decides to go after to be his next running backs coach, and how quickly does he need to maybe resolve this issue this spring?
So obviously they're on spring break this week, and other teams are starting spring football, but some of them haven't started yet. Mm-hmm. This is not a panic situation. Like, you lost a position coach, and you lost it in the spring, but you lost it at a position where you have a four-year starter about to be, a transfer coming in who is also one of the best running backs in the country, a three-year guy below him. Like, you've got some stability in that room already. So it's not a panic situation. Plus, on top of all that, you do have Chip Kelly, who's just come in and knows a thing or two about running backs. There are some options here. It doesn't sound like Ryan Day would want to hire a quarterback. It sounds like he wants his play caller to be the quarterback's coach, mm-hmm. from the way he talked. So I wouldn't think he would go that direction. If you set aside just the idea of hiring another running backs coach, another option would be, and I floated this in a text, I think this is just, I'm not saying this is likely, it's more to just speculation on my part. Keenan Bailey has been involved with like every position group at some point or another. Yeah. If you think he would be a good running backs coach, and you think it would be easier to hire a tight ends coach that you'd like, that you want, then I guess they could go that route too. I'm a little skeptical they would do that though. I think he's in a good position. It's an important year for that room that he's already been working with. And I think that position group also maybe gives him some additional flexibility to be involved with some other things in the offense, lets him be in the booth and on game days in a way that maybe even a running backs coach wouldn't. So I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think that's the way they would go. But on the running back side, you've got your pick, don't you? I mean, it's Ohio State. You've got those two running backs at the top of your room. And you've got Chip Kelly calling plays for your offense, who, by the way, has had some pretty good running games over the course of his career. Like, who wouldn't want to be the running backs coach at Ohio State right now, except maybe Tony Alford? Like, wouldn't everybody in the country want to be the running backs coach at Ohio State right now? I think you have your pick. I think you can go out and take whoever you want. Now, I mentioned in some of the texts that I sent out what Tony Alford was making. I think it was like $772,000. And I made a point about that in relation to the rest of the staff. That other guys were getting promotions and things that were pushing them past a million, and Tony Alford wasn't, and I don't think it was going to get to that point for him until the scale had like completely changed. But he actually, I think, from what I could tell from the USA Today assistant coach database, was the highest paid running backs coach in the Big Ten. So that tells you you're probably going to be able to go out and at the same price hire pretty much whoever you want. If you think there is a young guy, and I know people are going to bring up names that are associated with Ohio State. I saw that Tim May very quickly, I guess, got in touch with Eddie George, and Eddie George was like, no, I'm not down for that. Mm-hmm. But Pepe Pearson, who is the running backs coach for Eddie George at Tennessee State, that's a name that would be more interesting. But I also think, like, any discussion we've had about assistant coaches, and yes, fit is important, and someone who culturally fits on your staff, whatever. I just think this is a case where you're limited only by your imagination, really. If you're Ryan Day, like, who do you covet? Make them say no, and then just start working your way down the list. You've got time. It's early in spring. It's not a season. This isn't like 2020 where you had, you know, Master Teague, and then he gets hurt, and you don't have Trey Sermon yet, and you're kind of looking around like, who are the running backs in this room? And in some of the other situations they've had where it just felt thin, it's kind of robust right now. So you don't have to like do a hurry hire, in my opinion. I think they can take their time and make a big splash and hire someone of Tony Alford's esteem or better.
I wonder what DeMarco Murray's relationship is like with Ryan Day and Chip Kelly. Because his year with the Eagles in 2015, the head coach was Chip Kelly, and the quarterback coach that year was Ryan Day. I'm just like, we're just floating it. This is happening in real time. So this is, no, I'm not telling you insider information. I just know DeMarco Murray is currently at Oklahoma as a running backs coach and has been there since 2020, and he's done a pretty solid job there. And I'm just trying to, you know, you're always looking for connections, especially when you're talking about a head coach who's only in year five. So it's not like he has this large Rolodex of coaches he can call on, right? He's still building those relationships and building that up. It's not, you know, Urban Meyer, who had been a head coach for 25 years, by the time he got to Ohio State, that he could just pull a name out of a hat. Andrew, we're not going to get a chance to be in there for a practice until March 30th. That's the next time we're in there. Maybe some more get at it. Maybe they don't. But that's what? 15, 16 days from now as we're recording this pod. So if Ryan Day doesn't have this decision made in the next 2 weeks, which I don't think is crazy, and I also don't think it's, to Nathan's point, a panic mode if this isn't done in the next 14 days, if he's literally starting this process at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday as he's finding, you know, he probably found out quicker than we did, but still, this is developing information here.
Pretty sure he did.
Yeah. But it's not like he found out 2 months ago, right? He probably found out within like the last 48 hours, just like we are finding out. If we were in there for a Tuesday practice, how much more would you expect to see Ryan Day just hanging around the running backs in comparison to maybe some other positions, simply because that spot doesn't have a coach right now and it would be getting run by QCs and GAs?
Well, I think you kind of have to be, right? I mean, you don't want a position run by QCs and GAs. Although, when you look at Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and Dallin Hayden, guys who have been here a while, maybe if there was a position on this roster that could be run by QCs and GAs, you'd probably put running back towards the top end of that list, right? So, you know, maybe Ryan Day could...
What positions can coach GAs themselves run it, and it would still produce a productive product come the fall?
So I think that you know, maybe you see Ryan Day help out a little bit more. You know, you obviously want to be speedy with this, because we're going to talk about recruiting, I'm sure, in the next segment. You know, but there's visits happening over these next couple of weeks with some running backs that are going to come in. There's guys that are maybe not making their official commitments, but you got to know, like, you got to know sooner rather than later. You can't let this drag out for weeks and weeks on end. And I don't think Ohio State will. So, you know, I think in the short term, you can kind of patchwork it up. And if you have to, you know, skimp by for a couple of practices, that's not the biggest, you know, thing in the world. But yeah, I think Ryan Day will be there and, you know, kind of helping out a little bit more with the QCs and the GAs. But I don't think that it would be a long-term situation to where we're sitting there going, oh man, like it's been going on now. Like we're at the spring game. They still don't have a running back. So like, I don't think we're going to get to that point. So I think if you have to do it, it's going to be very minimal.
And I think also they can help. Other guys can help out. Yep. Like I was saying before about Keenan Bailey, like yep. they have in Sean Banks, a GA in the tight ends room that they, they've always really respected, somebody who could take on some more of that. While if Bailey has to help out more with the running backs temporarily, like there's in Day himself, Kelly, you know, Day can do more with the quarterbacks and Kelly can help with the running backs. Like they've got, they have some layers here of where they can, I'm trying to think, I'm scrambling for the word. But they cover each other's backs a little bit here. Some redundancies. They have some redundancies on this staff. That's the word I was looking for.
So we're going to continue to talk about this on our Buckeye Talk podcast. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube, go listen to Buckeye Talk wherever you find podcasts, and you'll get the rest of this. But for now, we're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come back, and we'll get into some of the other places where the loss of Tony Alford impacts Ohio State. That includes recruiting, but then also look at what the Tony Alford era at Ohio State has looked like over the past decade and the roller coaster that has been his time here in Columbus here on Buckeye Talk. We're back here on Buckeye Talk. Stephen Means, Nathan Baird, Andrew Gibbs. We're talking the departure of Tony Alford as Ohio State's running backs coach, expected to take the job as Michigan's run game coordinator and running backs coach. Got here in 2015. Nathan, this is, I'm just going to run down just from a recruiting aspect, his contribution to Ohio State's rosters over the last 9 years, nine classes, 13 running backs in nine classes. This is just the people he signed out of high school. Obviously, you also give him credit for Trey Sermon and to an extent, a little bit Chip Traynham, because he didn't necessarily, Chip didn't come here as a linebacker, but he ended up, him as a linebacker, but he ended up in the running back room and had some impact moments for Ohio State. Obviously, the Notre Dame game this past year, stepping in the Michigan game the year before that as well. And then Quinshon Judkins, he brought him in here as well. So you give him credit for that. But these are the people he signed out of high school. 2016, DeMario McCall played running back, wide receiver, cornerback, ended his career as a cornerback, was a top 50 recruit, but never really turned into much of anything. And then you also had Antonio Williams, who ended up transferring to North Carolina. In 2017, J.K. Dobbins, three-year starter, Ohio State's record holder for most yards in a season. He's also the only one to get drafted as a second-round draft pick. In 2018, you bring in Brian Sneed, who was dismissed from the program, ended up at Arkansas State. And then you also had Master Teague, who had a role, played a pivotal role in multiple seasons here, but then went undrafted. Steel Chambers in 2019 moves a linebacker. Marcus Crowley also brought him in that year, medically retired. So you can't fault the guy. Injuries happen. In 2020, you miss out on Bijan Robinson, when you thought you had him. So your consolation prize in that situation, you get Mayan Williams, who's a four-year contributor. Not all that confident if he'll get drafted or not. We'll do a pod on that later this year. In 2021, you bring in Travion Henderson, five-star running back, the best player that Tony Alford signed during his time here by far. Also brings in Evan Pryor as a top 100 recruit. Travion Henderson's in year four of being a starter, whatever you want to call it, in 2021. He's in year four, potentially leading, being the lead dog running back for Ohio State. Evan Pryor, injuries got in the way, ends up transferring to Cincinnati. Dallin Hayden in 2022, right now he's RB3, to be TBD. In 2023, you thought you had Mark Fletcher. He ends up flipping to Miami a couple of months before signing day. And in 2024, you thought you had Jordan Lyle. He ends up flipping to Miami a couple months before signing day. But you also bring in James Peoples and Sam Williams-Dixon. So that's 13 guys across nine classes. Two transfers, one medically retirement, and one draft pick for Tony Alford. If you had to define what the Tony Alford era for Ohio State running backs has been, and you could do it in maybe three words or less, what would you say?
Typical. I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, he's a position coach. He had some wins. He had some losses. This is, I think Tony Alford is a good guy. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
I just think this is emblematic of something we've talked about on Buckeye Talk for a long time. One of Doug's old mantras about how they're middle managers. They're not at the end of the day. They're pretty replaceable a lot of times. Once in a while, they're not. Once in a while, it's Brian Hartline or what Tim Walton looks like he's going to be. So those guys get pushed up the org chart, right? They get more money and more titles and things like that. And I think Tony Alford, there's evidence that he did a good job developing running backs here. with what J.K. Dobbins did for sure. That relationship and what J.K. Dobbins turned out to be here with that 2019 season were special. That is still the only high school recruit of his that has been an NFL draft pick.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Now, Henderson, Trevin Henderson will change that.
Correct.
So that's it. It's like in earnest or whatever. Like it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen for Mayan Williams. I'd be surprised at this point if he was a draft pick. The injury really probably makes that tough for him. The fact that he can't really do workouts and stuff right now. So that's 2 in 9 years. That's not the Ohio State ratio.
Is that better, worse, or about what you were expecting? When you just hear it all listed out like that, did you think it would be better or worse than what I said?
Well, we've watched it happen. That's we've known that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And now it's a little tricky at running back sometimes. When you get Trevin Henderson, well, he eats up 4 years as your starter.
Right.
So it's harder for guys to also have been recruited in that span to now be mm-hmm. off to the NFL too. There is that. But that stretch from 2015 and J.K. Dobbins was a starter or a part-time starter for 3 years. Yep. So it's draft pick running backs are you developing any given time? Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm just also saying that it's not a, there have been some real moments of success. They've been interspersed with some real moments of, like, I mean, look at, like, 2020 is the best example to me, like, where there's recruiting misses and then Master T gets hurt in the spring and it looks really bare all of a sudden. And so you get Trey Sermon, but then the Trey Sermon thing doesn't really happen all season. That, like, that running back situation was really plodding along. And then finally Sermon just has this eruption for the ages and carries you for the next couple of weeks, the Northwestern game, the Clemson game. But without that, if that doesn't get unlocked at the right exact moment, which I don't, you can give Tony Alford some credit for that, I guess, but, like, who knows if that season even ends with them in the national championship game. And then, yes, you rebound for 2021 with Trevin Henderson. But then what were we talking about 2 years into Trevin Henderson's career? There's this rift that develops between him and the staff. And Tony Alford was some part of that miscommunication to some extent over Trevin Henderson's injuries. And that almost led to Trevin Henderson potentially not being here for the past mm-hmm. year and going into this fourth year. So it's complicated. I didn't want to just say complicated before, because I think a lot of times these things are complicated. There's a lot of nuance. So I would just say typical. It wasn't a bad assistant coach tenure. It wasn't a great assistant coach tenure. I think we reserve that description for some of what we've seen other coaches do here. I think he's just somewhere in the middle of that.
So, Andrew, Ohio State, this 2025 class has already offered 13 running backs, maybe 14, depending on how you want to classify Bo Jackson. The composite has him as an athlete. 8 of them are still undecided. How does this impact that class going forward in terms of if it felt like there were some guys that they were maybe in the mix for? Has that changed? How does that change?
Okay, so I do want to answer that question, but I want to go back to the draft pick conversation really quick, because I do think that this is a nice tie-in for the 2025 recruits. In defense of Tony Alford only having one draft pick, because I've seen that a couple of times on Twitter today where people, well, he only developed one guy. All right, look, he showed up and Ezekiel Elliott was the number one running back on the team in 2015. That's not his fault. Mike Weber was on the team in 2016, the leading rusher. He had 1,000 yards. He was a draft pick. So there's Zeke and there's Mike Weber in 2 years. Now, do you want to count that? Maybe. But then you have a 3-year starter with J.K. Dobbins, and that takes out a significant chunk of time. And then Trey Sermon, he didn't recruit him, but he got him as a transfer. He's a third-round draft pick in the NFL. And then you have Trevion Henderson, who was a leading rusher from Ohio State in his freshman year in 2021. So, and if had he declared, he would have been a draft pick. So it's like, I get where the conversation comes from, that, hey, look, he only had one guy that he signed out of high school that was an NFL draft pick. And I get Ohio State fans kind of looking at that and kind of pointing at that saying, you know what, that proves to me that he's not good enough. I just disagree, because I think there's a lot of context missing from that. Like, Ezekiel Elliott was never not going to start at Ohio State. He showed up and he was here. Great player. Mike Weber, he was a 7th round pick. Like, Do you want somebody better as a freshman? I mean, maybe, but he did that the next year with J.K. Dobbins. And J.K. Dobbins was really good for 2017, 18, and 19. Then Trey Sermon, third-round pick. And then you have Trevon Henderson, who's probably going to be like a second-round pick. So I think that it might be a little bit disingenuous to say he only had one guy who got drafted that he signed out of high school, because there were a lot of other NFL players that he has coached at Ohio State and developed at Ohio State. So I don't necessarily agree with that notion. I think that's one of those stats do lie sometimes kind of conversations.
Zeke was already Zeke when Tony Alford got
here. But that's what I'm saying. So it's like 1 year, like what is he supposed to do?
You're supposed to go recruit a guy.
Yeah, and he did. He got J.K. Dobbins in 2017, and he was awesome for 3 years. And Mike Weber was already on the team, and he was good in 2016. He had 1,000 yards.
Mike Weber, I wouldn't say good. I would say only option in 2016. Because that was
Is that Tony Alford's fault?
I mean, you were on the team.
In 2016, if there's one option? Transfer portal wasn't a thing yet.
I mean, you were on the team in 2015, which means you probably should have recruited a better running back in 2016.
As a freshman, I don't know. That's really hard. Like, it is real. Like, I know he's done it twice, but Travion it's really
Henderson
hard to do.
Broke records as a true freshman.
I'm aware. It's just really hard to do. So I think that I wanted to bring that up because I do think that there are other circumstances. It's not just he's had one NFL draft worthy player like in the running back room in 9 years. I wanted to be clear with that. Go ahead, Nathan. You were going to say something.
And also, one of his running backs turned into a linebacker at some point.
Sure.
He wasn't getting on the field really as a running back. There's been some bad luck. Mm-hmm. I guess, Brian Snead was bad luck.
Yeah.
Marcus Crawley, like you said, bad luck, although I don't know he was really on an NFL trajectory. It's fine. It's what it is. It's fine. He was fine. He's not an irreplaceable assistant coach. I think he's a guy that was respected by a lot of people in the Woody. And I think he touched on to, because he was involved in recruiting beyond the running back room. Like, he had influence in recruiting other positions too, other parts of the country that were important to Ohio State. And there's relationships there with guys all over that roster. And that impact was real. And I thought you saw some of the hurt of that shining through in some of the tweets. I'm going to still call them tweets that were going out from players in the immediate aftermath of this. Jermaine Matthews saying something along the lines of practice what you preach or something like that.
Stand on what you preach.
Yeah. So, yes. So, again, now, the only one that we know was directly related to, for sure, was directly related to Tony Alford was Denzel Burke. Retweeted a news post and put 5 thumbs down emojis on it. So that one we know he was specifically talking about that. Jermaine Matthews and Jeremiah Smith might have been talking about something else when they were making their posts. But context clues tell you that they were talking about Tony Alford. So it's hitting, like I said before, it's hitting in a personal way inside the Woody. And the one thing where there is, again, I don't think there's urgency here, but I also think that in so many of these things, people go right to like, oh, who's the Ohio State alum that they could hire for this? And you're doing pretty good on alums on this roster. And Tony Alford wasn't an Ohio State alum. I don't think you should be limited to that. I think you should, though, look at the recruiting and say the recruiting was fine. J.K. Dobbins, yes. Trevion Henderson, yes. Everything else is kind of been fine. So is there somebody out there that could maybe take it up a notch? Even if this isn't a true criticism, or fair criticism, as you're trying to allege, Andrew, who can still improve on what Tony Alford was doing?
Right. Now, to get into the 25 kids like Steven originally asked, like, there are a few notable names that are going to visit in the next, couple of weeks. Jordan Davison, he's a top 50, top 60 recruit out of Mater Dei in California. He's going to be here for a few days in March. That's an interesting recruitment to monitor. We'll see. I think It is too early. I mean, I want to be clear as I say all these names. We are recording this like right after the fact. So to know if a kid, you know, what he said in the immediate hour or two afterwards, it is a little bit too early. But over the next couple of days, couple of weeks, I think we'll have a better idea of what kind of impact this could have. But Byron Lewis, he's another kid out of Florida. As some Ohio State fans shudder with running backs and Florida and Tony Alford. He's a top 200 player. You know, he was in Ohio State's top 10. We'll see what happens there. Bo Jackson, no relation. By the way, Bo Jackson just got offered by Auburn, which would be hilarious if Bo Jackson, the kid from Cleveland, ends up at Auburn. But Bo Jackson, I mean, he's another Cleveland area target. Marquise Davis, like there are really high-level targets that Ohio State was in the mix for. And you got to be curious about what happens to those guys. So we'll see, because, you know, not to go back to the point that I was just making, but Tony Alford is able to walk into a room and say, when I was at Ohio State, I coached Ezekiel Elliott, and I coached J.K. Dobbins, and I coached Trey Sermon, and I coached Travion Henderson. And all these dudes are going to end up in the NFL, or are in the NFL, or have had successful NFL career, or whatever it is. You're able to tout that. You know, you're able to say, I've been in a room with this guy. So I do think that, you know, that is important, you know, when you do have those recruiting kind of battles and those kind of things. So we'll see. I'm curious to hear what the kids say. I think the other thing that I am going to keep an eye out for, it's not the number one thing that I want to hear. I'm just curious about it. When I talked to Fahim Delane a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned to me, now it was a different situation, but he mentioned to me that Perry Eliano was his guy. You know, that was the guy that, you know, he was recruiting him, and he was the guy who was really kind of in on him, and, you know, they had a great relationship. And then one day, he didn't say what day, but one day, Tim Walton started to lead that recruitment. And at that point, Fahim went, okay, something's up. Now, I'm curious if this completely blindsided Ohio State, where they woke up this morning and it happened. Was this something that they thought could be a possibility? And a couple of weeks ago, maybe. So they started to make arrangements for this. Like, I'm curious to see how these kids kind of talk about it and say, you know, maybe Ryan Day was taking a more, you know, involved hand in that recruitment. There's a lot of interesting things that can go on behind the scenes, because we found out on Wednesday, March 13th. Maybe Ohio State had some other kind of knowledge that this was going to go on a couple of days ago, maybe a week or two, like whatever it was. So I'm curious to hear what these kids have to say as it relates to kind of the recruitment and who was leading it, and kind of if anything changed in that recruitment. So yeah, these next couple of weeks with visits and everything like that are going to be really interesting.
I think the key thing there is with you brought up the Perry Eliano point. He just wasn't retained.
So of course.
That was a decision that was made around a time when typically coaches are being retained or not being retained in those situations. So it was a little bit more normal. The Mike Hart decision happened within the past week. In terms of that job even being opening for Tony Alford to take it. That's the key thing. Tony Alford is leaving to go to Michigan because there's a job open at Michigan.
Right.
Because something happened at Michigan that allowed that job to be open. So I think everybody's blindsided by this. Now, are they like I just said earlier, they're probably not finding out at the exact same time we're finding out, but the timeline is very similar. These players are finding out just how we're finding out. You know, recruits are definitely finding out the way we're finding out. So it is going to be interesting. I think what makes the recruiting part so interesting, when you're talking about Tony Alford, is the way he recruits, in terms of it is more in the Larry Johnson style of building these relationships, where it is almost like a father figure relationship. That's the way Travion Henderson often talked about Tony Alford when they were going through recruiting cycle. J.K. Dobbins, that was the epitome of being a father figure in terms of what that dynamic was, Nathan. And when that's the way you go about recruiting, when you build relationships that way, it isn't as simple as just finding the next guy sometimes and going, oh, here's my resume, because that's not necessarily what these kids at running back are used to dealing with in terms of Ohio State. And so I do wonder how that maybe impacts how some of these recruitments might go. If it felt like some of these highly rated kids were choosing Ohio State because they, not necessarily for Ohio State, but they were choosing Tony Alford the way J.K. Dobbins and Travion Henderson.
It may be. That may be true. I get what you're going at there, that we can't discount what role he did play in the most important successes he did have. That these weren't, you know, to his credit, these weren't, it was a 5-star top 15 running back in Hilliard. or right. Pickerington or wherever center, it's or Cleveland even. Like, he had to go out of state. He was doing what we have admonished other assistant coaches for not doing enough. What we've talked about with the offensive line, for example, where you're not going out and getting major recruits from other states. Even, you know, Dallin Hayden was not an in-state prospect. You know, Master Teague was not an in-state prospect. Like, he has very effectively gone out of Ohio to find useful players, and sometimes more than useful players in the case of Dobbins and Henderson. So 1,000%. That is a very fair thing to bring up. But I also think this is Ohio State. Ohio State does that brand, does get you in the door of with recruits that other people can't get in the door of. And then it's just a matter of closing that deal. So that should not be something that Ohio State can't overcome. The recruiting success that he's had, well, there are obviously real instances of real recruiting successes here, was not so overwhelming and consistent enough that they can't find that somewhere else. It's not akin to losing Brian Hartline. It's not akin to losing what Tim Walton is doing right now. It's not akin to losing what Larry Johnson does or has done in the defensive line room. It's not that. This is something that Ohio State should be able to replace. That's why I think they would be wise to, you know, while it is a shock and while the timing isn't perfect, it's more important to get the right guy than get the first guy.
So this will obviously be an interesting thing to continue to monitor. It's the latest thing on Ryan Day's plays. It's making that decision to give a play calling smarter and smarter every single day, man, because he's dealing with a bunch of other stuff. Get the text 614-350-3315. When this news broke, it was the first place we went with it. We were also texting out some other stuff, just context and analysis on it. And we, with recruiting, we'll do the same thing. And we're back in the Woody next Tuesday talking with Ryan Day, where I'm sure this will be amongst the long list of things that people will have to ask for Ryan Day when Ohio State gets back to practicing for spring football for the 2024 season. So get the text 614-350-3315. 2-week free trial, $3.99 after that. For Nathan Baird and for Andrew Gillis, I'm Stephen Means, and that was Buckeye Talk.